guys, and we're here on the show tonight, so I'm excited, and we've got a great show planned. So it's all about twin flames, twin souls, and everybody says they want a twin flame or twin soul, and you are lucky, one of the lucky ones to actually have yours this lifetime. So, yeah, right? I know. It's fun, but, you know, everybody wants one. What is a twin flame? What is a twin soul? That, you know, and why does everybody want one? I would like just to have a nice, normal guy. But anyway, tell us what a twin flame, twin soul is to you, because I know you in this lifetime, you have to be pretty advanced to have, so they say, to have that in your life. And so you've got your twin flame, twin soul. And share with us how that happened and what it means, because you're living it. So, anyway, not taking notes.
I don't even know how it happened. It's like you meet someone, you instantly connect with them, and you instantly feel this kinship with them. And, you know, people feel that all the time, I mean, with different people they meet. But it's just, it's a different kind of a feeling, and it's deeper. It's a deeper kind of love, and it's almost like it has gravity. It's like it just keeps pulling you back there, because, you know, we didn't stay together the first time. We both moved on and we were with different people, but it's like you keep gravitating back to each other. And I've never done that with anybody else before. It's just like, it feels like home to me. It's like when I'm with him, I feel like I'm at home. I'm with somebody who completely gets me and I'm completely comfortable with, and he's completely comfortable with me. And you can just totally be yourself. You're not having to worry about being judged and what is this other person going to think of you, because you're so much alike. And, you know, things that I do that I think are weird, or things that he does that he says are weird, I don't think they're weird, because we're the same. And it's just it's a different feeling. It's a deeper love, it's a deeper connection, and it really is a connection on every different level. So it's not just a physical attraction. It's not just a mental attraction or an emotional. It's everything. And it's great. I mean, it's wonderful. And it's like what I always wanted. It's what you fantasize about when you want this great love of your life. And nobody else has ever made me feel that way. And I hate using that terminology, made me feel. It's not, you know, we always talk about when you really love someone with your heart, it's not how they make you feel. It's just that you love them separate from you. But that feeling that I have with him is so different than the feelings, the love that I've felt with other people. It's just like, it's almost like you're loving yourself. There's so much like you, and you really get each other. So I know I'm babbling, but it's hard to explain.
No, you know, well, that's okay, because I like I said, I've talked to a lot of people that have the twin flame, twin soul, or not a lot of people, but who want it, very rarely get it. But there is a thinking out there, a way of thinking that to have, be in the same lifetime as your twin flame, which is one, the twin flame is one is the female part, one is the male part. I don't know if you agree with that. But to have that, you have to have be an advanced soul. So what does that mean to you? Do you feel that? Are you and Scott both advanced souls? And
I do That almost sounds snobbish to say, but it's not that you're better than anyone else. It's just that you're more evolved. And I think you both have to get to that point of evolvement before you're both ready for that kind of a love, because it's almost overwhelming. It's overwhelming to love somebody so much that it's almost like the way you love your kids. It's like you love them more than yourself. You want them to be so happy that is the very thing that makes you happy, is knowing that they're happy. It's not a selfish love. And it is unselfish. If they would be happier with somebody else, you'll be happy for them. You know, if they're happy doing something away from you, you can still love them and feel this enormous love from afar. And other kinds of love are just not like that, because they're so based on your ego. They're so centered around, you know, I have to have this person next to me, linked to me, for me to love them. And that's how most people love. It's like, if you're not going to be with me and you're not going to make me feel special, then I don't love you. And that's not unconditional love. And this is such a different kind of love. It's passionate and it's, you know, the kind of man, woman, you know, however, the passionate love that, that you think of. But yet there's also this familial quality to it almost, where you feel like you're with your best friend and you're with your best friend, but you want to attack them. You know, you're with your best friend, but you're insanely attracted to them. And you can talk for hours and you get each other and you're not having to explain your emotions because they get your emotions and they understand it without you even having to explain it. And I've never had that before with anybody, and it's wonderful. But it's, you know, it's, I know most people don't get it and it's sad, but I really do think you both have to be at a point of evolvement with your soul where you are ready to love unselfishly like that. And I think most people are not to that point yet. Do you?
No, I mean, I as you said, advanced souls that you, I do feel that you have to be evolved. And also too, as coming to even come into the same lifetime, because most of the time you don't do that until you are evolved. And what does evolve mean? That means that you realize that certain things like that there is a higher awareness about who we are, what we are. We're all, you know, connected to God and you know, those kind of things. But also, I know that when you meet your twin flame, twin soul, sometimes it can feel very, the relationship is so intense, right? But there are times that you can't be together because you're not grown up enough, is one way of saying it, right? Or you don't realize the connection. Do you agree with that or no?
I definitely agree with that because I think it depends on the point that you're both at in your life. And, I mean, when we met the first time, I felt like I was ready, but he wasn't ready. You know, we both were at a really tough point in both of our lives. I had just lost my son. He had just lost 3 members of his immediate family, and we were kind of like a train wreck waiting to happen. And so the timing was not right. And I think we both had lessons to learn with other people that we never would have learned with each other. I needed to learn some lessons in how to stand up for myself. And I wouldn't have learned that lesson with him because he is so nice. He would never push me to the point where I felt like I had to stand up for myself. He would always look out for my feelings. And I felt like he also had to learn that he doesn't need to prove himself to people because we always are chasing after these people that challenge our ego. And it's like, we've got to prove that we're worthy. And I've done that over and over myself where it's like, I've got to prove to this guy that I'm worth his affection. And then once I do, I finally look at him without the rose-colored glasses on and go, he's not all that. Why was I so intent on proving myself? It wasn't about him. It was about me. It was about me getting like ego gratification out of it or something. And you finally have to love yourself and see your own worth. And then you're finally ready for the right person. You know, then you're finally ready for that kind of a love that's a little more complicated. It's a little more complicated than just a regular companion soulmate love or, you know, just when you are really infatuated with someone and you like certain things about them. But a lot of the time it's what they're doing to you to make you chase them and make you feel like you're not good enough, and so you've got to keep proving yourself. And, you know, you and I have talked about that. It's like you're not in love. You're addicted to the feeling of being not good enough.
Right?
And
I hear you.
I've experienced that. Absolutely. You know, and so suddenly when you're with this person who looks at you and says, you are good enough, you're what I love, you're what I want, sometimes it doesn't feel normal because we're so used to having the opposite. And it's like, this is just too easy. This is just too easy. It needs to be harder. You know, I need to go chase something else that makes it harder. And I think you have to go through those experiences before you're finally ready as a soul or as a human being, before you're finally ready to embrace real love when it's right in front of you. Because it shouldn't be hard. You shouldn't always have to prove yourself. But we're so conditioned to do that. And people do it all the time. We're so conditioned to needing to inflate our own egos, and that's one of the things we do, is chase relationships that challenge our egos. And you finally have to develop a pretty healthy ego to say, I don't need to prove myself. I'm worth it. I'm worth any, you know, whatever I'm giving to them, I'm worth the same thing in return. And that's what's hard. I think that's what's hard for most people. We feel like we've got to give more than we receive all the time. And we settle.
Yeah.
We settle for getting little. And I know you
right.
probably hear that all the time with your clients.
Well, no, I hear it all the time with clients and also friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, and there are three types of soulmates. So let's talk about those. So because we're talking about the twin flame, which is that other part of you, the male part, the female part, what some people say. You know, maybe it's you know, something different for everybody, but that's what I see, or what mm-hmm. I've been told, what I read, and what I feel when I'm reading people. It's also, you know, that other part of you, that other half of you, however you see it. I just want to reiterate that. And so that's the twin flame, twin soul, and it's a great love. But a lot of times, what we just talked about, it can start off with being very tumultuous and not so easy, and then you grow into it, right? But to even come with that twin flame, twin soul, it is an advanced soul that can come in the same lifetime. Well, that's cool too,
mm-hmm.
as well. And I know this we're going through a lot of shifts in the universe right now. So that's the one that we're talking about, twin flame, twin soul. And then there is also the karmic soulmates, which feel a lot like, I think it can feel a lot like a twin flame, twin soul. But usually, because they're tumultuous too, and it's like a karmic balance that you're doing in this lifetime. And you do karmic balancing with your twin flame, twin soul? I don't believe so. Okay, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's either a karmic or the twin flame, twin soul. And they feel similar, but the karma, once you're done. You don't feel that strong attraction, which you always do with your twin flame, twin soul. You just do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the companion, which is my favorite, because that's the person, and any of these relationships can be romantic, or they can be family, or they can be best friends, or they can be whatever, any of these soulmate relationships. You know, I think Edgar Casey had his twin flame, twin soul, was his secretary. His wife was his companion soulmate, which brings me to, what is a companion soulmate? It's that somebody who's got your back, who came in this lifetime to back you up. You back him or her up. They back you up. They love you unconditionally too, as well. But they are like a companion soulmate, you know. And as I said, any of these soulmates can be your lover, your wife, your husband, your best friend, your family, your sister, your brother, whatever. So, but I've had companion soulmate relationships. I don't think I've ever had a twin flame, twin soul relationship in this lifetime. I hope not. Anyway, I missed it if I did.
You would have known it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm not so sure, because I'm always running when it comes to relationships a lot of times, but not anymore. I'm teasing that. I think you have to grow to be in any kind of relationship, a healthy one, right? And that really means growing within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. And then you have angels that look out after twin flame and twin soul to bring you two together. And I believe that, you know, we have Shemuel, who helps with the relationship angel, and we also have one that specifically helps with the twin flame, twin soul, is Ascended Master Angus. And have you ever worked with him, or I don't know.
I have not, and you've talked to me about him before, but I've not worked with him. You know, I have my two favorite angels that I work with all the time.
Yeah, well,
I still work with
him. Which one?
Like my friend.
No. Yeah, there you go. Which ones do you work with to help you with
Gabriel
Scott?
And Michael. Scott. I usually use Gabriel, because that's the God's messenger angel. That's the angel of communication. And I felt like when he and I have struggled, it's our communication. It was our, you know, we weren't communicating. We just weren't communicating well. And I would ask Gabriel to help me, you know, choose the right words, and so that I'm getting my point across. And I always told him, we should not text. We used to always have the worst communication snafus via text message. And that has not happened this time. But that used to hang us up a lot, because
things come across differently in writing. And when you think you're being funny, you'll make a joke and the other person's reading it as if you're serious. And that, I felt, was a lot of our problem the first time around, was the communication was off sometimes. Or I was wanting more of it and he was wanting less of it. And so I would ask Archangel Gabriel a lot, because that's the one I always feel like helps me find the words, choose the words, and get my message across. So I probably choose too many words for him or for any man. I talk too much, but you know what I mean. And I always love Archangel Michael. Is, you know, just he's the protector. He's the one that you look to for strength. So those are the two, I guess, that I just feel like they're like my friends, because I've talked to them so much over the years that I always ask them. So I guess it feels unfamiliar then for me to talk to Angus. And I think because of the name, I wish he wasn't named Angus.
Yeah, it doesn't make you think of a cow, Angus Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, because it's Angus B.
Okay.
Yes, and it's like,
yeah, right.
I have to say, that's just I'm sorry that his name is Angus.
You know that one, you could say, hey, you know the one of you up there in the heavenland that works with Twin Flame Twinkles, work with me. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know, just so. I'm not going to call you by name, because you're not a cat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I wrote a little book about how to work with him and contact him, right? You know, and so if anybody wants it, you can look at Tree Abbott Angel Coaches or Dear Angels, which is on our Facebook page, or our Facebook pages. But it does work, because I have a friend of mine. She said, Tree, I'm sick of all these guys that I'm getting that aren't the right men. She goes, I would like my twin flame, twin soul. And I go, well, you've never seen the wrong man or the right man. Yeah, listen, good luck with that, right? So
yeah,
anyway.
I'd like to have him now.
It took her, mm-hmm. Yeah. So 4 years, she got him. And she said it was really hard for 4 years. It just was so hard. They would break up and get back together, break up and get back together, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had their kids involved and all this kind of stuff. And she goes, one day, it was literally one day, we looked at each other and said, we're not going to do this anymore. And there were some other things with that, obviously, but they're married and have a great life. And she said, like you, it's like her best friend. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know people are, I think that your twin flame, twin soul really helps you look at yourself, because you're looking at yourself with them, if you believe that,
yeah.
Which I do. You know, yeah. So if you have sure. if you have that mirror, it's really a good mirror to have, is working with your twin flame, because you sometimes I think we want these great relationships and these amazing relationships, but we only get to enjoy them like looking through a small hole because of all the baggage that we've got to release and let go, which mm-hmm. is, I know that's what you did in your last relationship, right? You know, I know
right.
that God's had really a relationship where he let his go. I know that I have had relationships where I've had to do that. But what's your thoughts on that? So you've got all this baggage, right? You don't think you have baggage, but you really do. And mm-hmm. Was that one reason why you guys didn't stay together and you got back together until you, maybe it's like just growing up, you know what I mean?
I think so, yeah. It's like you both have to go your separate ways to work on your separate issues. And we had similar hang-ups, but yet we had some hang-ups that were different, you know. And I use the word hang-ups loosely. I mean, everybody has their own issues and their own baggage that they work through. But we both, I think, needed to kind of have some tougher lessons with different people in order to come back together and, like you said, and grow up. You know, I had growing up to do. You know, you always feel like you're all grown up and you know everything, but you don't. And you realize in hindsight, wow, I walked into, you know, various relationships just ignorant and not knowing myself, not understanding myself. And I think sometimes you have to be with the wrong people to really learn about yourself. And once you get it, then you let
right.
them go, because they are the wrong people. But you also taught them something too. And so they can move on and be with their right person. But yeah, the twin flame relationship is more complicated, I guess. I don't know. And it is like you're having a relationship with yourself, because you get them. They're so much like you. They think like you, and you really understand it. And I love that connection. But yet I think you do have to have a level of maturity for you to really appreciate that connection, because I think it's scary. You know, it's scary to be with somebody who is so much like you that they would know. They know what you're thinking. And I think that's frightening to people if they're not ready for that. People like to wear their masks. You know, they like to put on their image and present this image to people. And the people they're with, they get a glimpse of them, but they don't know everything they are truly on the inside because they're wearing their image all the time. But like with Scott, there's no image. It's like we're the same image. You know what I mean?
I like that. Yeah. You know, I love you guys. I really do. And you tell the greatest stories because I know Scott through you, at least like your family. I know a lot of them through you because you tell the great stories. You're so funny. But, you know, I like the question, Nick, what was the best thing Scott said to you today and some of the things that you shared? I mean, they're not so personal that it would infringe on you guys' space. But right. You shared some great, great, great quotes or some great things you said. And or you said to him, you know, but I have to tell you, I adore you both as a couple. But honestly, and your daughter says the same thing, right? You guys are so syrupy sweet with each other that
my daughter laughs.
I want to get little tick. Go ahead. Little tick on my stomach because you guys are so sweet.
Yeah. My daughter, she wants that. You know, she wants that sensitive person to look her in the eyes and say something meaningful. And her husband is just not wired that way. That's not how he's grown up. And I mean, she teases me, but I know it's with a longing to have that. And I think most people want it. And not just women. Men want it, too. Men want a woman to, or a man, whoever they are attracted to. You know, they want their partner to really look them in the eye and say something meaningful and say something that is unique to them and comment on a quality they love that is unique to them. And people don't get that because it's like their partners don't even see them and they don't even see their uniqueness. They see what are you doing for me? You know, are you cleaning the house or are you, you know, earning a living or whatever? What do you do for me? They don't see the little quirky, unique characteristics on the inside of that person. And a lot of people don't care to. They don't care to take time to really get to know somebody. And so that's what I love is being with someone who there's so many things I admire about him, but I will comment on it and he will say the same things to me. And it feels more special. It feels more special than somebody who's just saying, you know, the same things that they say to everybody else. Like we were talking about pet names. And he asked what my ex called me. And I said, you know, he had a pet name for me, but yet he used that same pet name on every woman that he knew. So it wasn't a pet name. It was just a name that he called women. You know, it's like one man called everyone darling, one man called everyone sweetheart. And so it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. I'm sorry. That's so true, right? You can call me T. That means something because it's my first initials, T. So, but yeah. But I call you Di. Your name's Diane. So, but you have your friends and your family that call you Di. Does Scott have a sweet name that he calls you now?
We were talking about that one night when he said, I need to think of a name that's just particular to you. And he called me my love. And I love that.
Aww.
I absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that sounds so sweet, but you guys both sound like a couple of girls. I got to tell you. Okay. Stop.
I love it.
Okay.
I
know you do. My love. I feel like I'm reading in the middle of the book. I know you build up to that. You understand? Like you open the book and you're in the middle of the book. My love. If somebody did that to me, I think that would be sweet. Okay. No. It would be very sweet. I would like that. That's kind of cool. But yeah. Okay. Good. So anyway, a question that I have, Di, you know I'm teasing you and Scott too, but how people want that twin flame, twin soul, soulmate kind of love. How do you get it? You say you're showing up in this lifetime. Remember, they usually don't come in the same lifetime, right? More often, more not than often. So how do you say, I want to see if I have my twin flame or twin soul? Is that a question you ask here in this lifetime, or do you pray about it? Do you meditate about it? How do you figure it out if this is your twin flame or twin soul?
I never put in like a special order for that. I always said I want my great love. I want to experience great love. But I was always working on myself at the same time. I was always working on myself and saying, what can I do to be a better partner for my great love, whoever he is, you know, before I met Scott. I didn't know who my great love was, but I was wanting that. But I was working on myself. And so I think that's the first step, is that you need to work on yourself and say, how can I be the partner that I want? I want to be the partner to my partner that I want to have. And so you have to really look at yourself and do the hard work and look at your faults, look at where you can improve. And when you start becoming a better person yourself, you start attracting a higher caliber of person, even you, if you haven't gotten to that, you know, pinnacle yet where, you know, you've got a companion soulmate, but it's the best companion soulmate that you can have. You know, it doesn't have to be the twin flame, or it can be just the best companion soulmate you could have. It's just working on yourself, because if you just sit there and say, I want my great love, it's not going to come. You have to be that person yourself to attract that person. So you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But to do the work, get to pay. And that's not only in money, that's actually in love. I get you. That's a good point, by the way. I'm only teasing when I said you guys sound like a couple of girls, but really, you guys are sister. Sweet. I like it. It works for you.
Romance is people are not
romance anymore.
That's the thing, and that's why I think relationships fail so much anymore. Romance should not be dead, and yet in this day and age, it's dying away little by little. And you see these, you know, people who are, they go online and they're, you know, flirting like hell with somebody who they've never met in person before, and they're talking intimately with someone who they may not even be attracted to when they do meet them. And it's like, it's this flash in the pan, I want immediate gratification, and they get together and it fizzles out, and because they're not working on making that relationship last by making the other person feel special. And that's what romance is. It's making that person feel special. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't have to make these grand gestures. It's that the conversations. It is the pet names or the kind words or the compliments that keeps that romance alive, that makes you want to make them feel special because they're making you feel special. So
I like that.
I'm content to be a couple of girls if that's what we are, because it's romance. It's romantic. And I
don't like
that.
Even, you know that.
No.
Oh, wait. Oh, my goodness. Your daughter says the same thing, right? She says you guys are so
No, she doesn't. No. She made fun of us. She made fun. She just said, what did she say? You guys are so cute, I throw up a little bit.
Yeah, right? That's exactly
what I thought. But then she turns around and says, I want that. I want to have that kind of relationship. And, you know, and her husband's trying. He tries. But he hasn't had an example. He hasn't had an example of that in his life. And it's work. If you haven't grown up with that, you have to put thought into it. You have to put thought into, how am I treating this person? Because maybe I don't want to be treated the way my mother was treated or the way my father was treated. So I'm going to have to do it differently too. And I think people kind of get into their little patterns that they've seen growing up. And if they haven't witnessed or grown up in the most loving of households, that's their only example. And they don't know. They don't know what to do. So, work on yourself, but you also need to be very conscious of taking care of your partner's feelings and showing them and telling them how wonderful that you think they are, because somebody else will. You know, that's the whole thing. Somebody else will. If you're not making your man or your woman feel like they are special to you, guess what? There's people that they work with, or there's people that they live next to that are going to do that, and you'll lose them. And I think that's something that it's a sad but true. But you see it all the time. You see relationships ending because one of them or both of them let the romance fizzle out, and somebody else came along and turned on the charm, and all of a sudden, you know, that person's gravitating to somebody who makes them feel like they're special to them. So I can't say enough about that. I think that's
no, I hear you. Mm-hmm. But maybe instead of saying what can I get, it's more about what can I give, right? You know, so
right.
What can I give?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you give a lot. You know, for you it would be like cooking this great homemade meal. For me it would be like, hey, we're eating on the glass instead of the plastic plate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, yeah. But you are such a good person, or good, if you're the perfect woman, I really do feel that die with the, mm-hmm. you know, with your relationship. Oh. So, I mean, you are, and you've given me a lot to work on within myself. And then also, you can also ask your angels. I mean, Angus helps you, Shamuel. I know you've worked with Shamuel, I think.
Yeah.
Also,
mm-hmm.
Gabriel, great Gabriel. And then Michael, and you said, I remember a couple times you told me, go, you know what? I said, Archangel Michael, just show me what to do and bring him to me. And you really had that strong faith. Faith is important, don't you think? To have faith with this kind of relationship, with any relationship, but mm-hmm. love relationship especially. So how does that work? Because there's times you've had faith and times you've wavered a little bit. How did you get back on track?
You know, I've always had faith in God and in, you know, angels and divine beings on the other side. I've always had belief in them. But sometimes you're floundering and you're going in and out of one failed relationship after another, and you start losing faith in the belief that you're ever going to have that great love. It's not that you don't have faith in, you know, in God and whoever you believe in. It's that you start feeling like, I am destined to be miserable. I am destined to be with Mr. Wrong or be alone. One of the two. Those are my options. Those are my two options. And you get embittered and just frustrated. And I've certainly been there. You know, you get tired of a dead-end road because you chase after something and it's not right. And you get to that point of dead end, and you think, geez, I just wasted how many years of my life on this one? You know, and you get, I definitely have gotten frustrated. And then I start saying, I'm just going to be alone. I'm just going to be alone.
Right? No more man for me. So did you pray to God? Did you pray to your angels? Did you say, okay, tell me what you did. Because I know that that's a question. Well, I've always got this guy, or I always got the same guy, or the same woman, and she has faith, or she has something I don't have. But you've not had that, and you've had to go find it again. Did you pray about that, or did it just happen?
I pray all the time, but I'm not like formal down on my hands and knees, you know, like I was taught to when I was a little girl. I talk to God. I'm cooking in the kitchen, and I'm talking to Archangel Michael. I mean, I just talk out loud to whoever I'm asking for help with. And so I guess for, you know, everybody's spirituality is different. It's different to them. But I feel like I have a friend with God. I mean, I can talk to God. I'm not always going to God with questions or will you do this for me? Will you bring me this? You know, I thank God for everything in my life a lot, and I'll say a little thanks, you know, a gratitude throughout the day sometimes. So I think when you start feeling like you kind of have a rapport there, then you don't feel quite so greedy when you say, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this one thing?
Right. Hey, God, it's me again.
Yeah.
Our angels, mm-hmm. it's me again. Yeah, I get you. And gratitude is really important too, Di. You're touching on something there because when you're grateful for something and you list things that you're grateful for, then you don't have time. The being bitter or being angry does not enter into when you're in a state of gratitude. And so do you practice gratitude every day? Is that one of the reasons why you've got a great life and a great relationship, and life is working for you really nice? And so I know that it's not just starting now, but you, like you said, you prayed, you worked with the angels, you worked with God. You've been grateful, and you learn to forgive. And gratitude and forgiveness is key, right? Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to forgive yourself. You have to be able to forgive yourself. You have to be able to forgive each other. Because we all hurt each other. You know, people inadvertently hurt each other. I mean, things that you don't even think about, you hurt somebody's feelings, and you have to be able to move past the crap and embrace what is good and taste that, you know, and just put that out in front of you and just move on. And you know, people have a hard time doing that. People like to hold grudges. And then we've all been with those kind of people who will rehash an old argument every time you get in a new argument. You know, if you get in a new argument, they'll bring up something that you did 3 years ago, or, you know, last month you said this, and it's like they're saving ammunition for the next fight, and they're going to pull out everything that you ever did that they've already told you made them upset, and you've already apologized for it up and down. And I hate that. I hate that. And that's just not healthy arguing. You know, people argue. People get in discussions. You know, you hope it is just a discussion and it doesn't turn into a heated argument. But you've got to focus on what is the disagreement right now in front of us. Let's not bring old fights and old crap into this, because you end up going in circles. And that's just, and I've been with several, you know, dated several people who were like that, and I just couldn't take it. And it's almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. It's like you bring up an old fight one more time, and even if I'm happy with you right now, I'm so out the door.
No, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. And but you learned that from past relationships. So when Scott came back into your life, you guys were able to, okay, this didn't work in a relationship, so we see each other for really who the beautiful souls you guys are. And do you fight? Do you ever fight?
No, we have never fought. Honestly, we have never fought. You know, we've both said words to each other, usually via writing. I don't think we've ever actually fought when we were talking. But we've said, you know, I think I've gotten upset and I've said hateful words that I wish I could take back. But he never fought with me. He was always so kind to me, and so then I feel like it's
like
smug,
that.
You know. But we've never fought, and I don't think we ever will. Neither one of us have a personality that's combative. We just want to have an easy, fun relationship where we do get along and we do enjoy each other, because I think some people really like the arguing. You know, I think some people want to push each other's buttons because they like the drama of fighting and then making up. And I think people create the drama sometimes, where we're the opposite. We both are the peacemakers. We'll try to diffuse things. That's what we were like when we were growing up, and that's what we're still like as adults. And so I can't even imagine fighting with him. I can't.
I like that. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. So you, the twin flame, twin soul, companion soulmates, long soulmates, romantic soulmates, husband, wife, lovers, whatever you guys, whoever you are. How about a spiritual practice? I'm not talking about prayer, although it may be prayer. There's a lot of different spiritual practices. Do you and Scott have one, or are you going to implement one, or... how important do you think that is in a relationship, especially the one that you're in, the twin flame? Because it can be,
you know, we're not formal, like, let's sit down and pray together. We're not, that's just not us, you know. But we talk about our spirituality all the time, and we talk about our beliefs all the time. And I think that's what's important to me, is sharing each other's beliefs. I don't have any... like spiritual practices, like formalized, you know, meditation or praying or whatever. But I think being with each other and connecting with each other on a physical level, to me, that's kind of a spiritual practice. I mean, your essence is with each other, you know. So, and when you're open about your spirituality and you can talk about it and share that, to me, that draws you closer than
than I've ever felt with somebody who I sat next to in church. I guess wasn't, let me just put it that way. You know, the standardized formal religion, when I think of spiritual practices, that's what I think of. And to me, that never made me feel closer to a person who I was sitting in church with. You know what I mean?
Sure. I get it. I like the spirituality. Like, you know, a friend of mine, her and her guy, they say three things that they're grateful for every day, right? That's their connection. You know, that's their spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And you go, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. They do more like I'm grateful for, you know, literal things or sometimes things in their personality or things that happened the day before, or things they anticipate happening today, you know, or, you know, whatever today it is. And so that's their spiritual practice. So you do it. Everybody that I see that has a really successful relationship, they have some sort of spiritual practice. So when I'm hearing you say spirituality, gratitude, forgiveness, right, for yourself, you know what I mean? And then just being a higher awareness about who you are, right, and what mm-hmm. you're here to do. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Do you think that to have your twin flame, twin soul, that you have to be, altruistic, is that the right word? Or do you think you have to have, I'm not going to use altruistic, do you think that you have to be in some kind of service where you have a bigger thought than just you and your family, maybe helping others?
I definitely do. I because I think that's part of the the evolution of your soul. I think if you are not someone who wants to help people, you're not very evolved yet, because that, and you don't have to be in a service relate, you know, where you're, you know, working at a charity. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just
not so formal. It could be just that
right. Okay. But, you know, in the world of everyone is me, 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 and I want this, and I want the big house, and I want to spend all my money on me, and I'm materialistic. And, you know, that's the world we live in. And those, when you're really living in that world of materialism, I don't really think you're going to get your twin flame. I don't. I think you'll have a companion soulmate who also wants to live in the world of materialism with you. So I think you have to have that softened soul where you want to help people. And however that looks, it doesn't have to be thousands of people. It can be two people, but you need to want to help people and have that, you know, kind of benevolent feelings towards others. I think, before you're going to be evolved enough to where you're going to have that relationship. I really do believe that, because I just think that's part of being an old soul. You know, when you look at people who seem so wise, they're never somebody who's sitting in a mansion. They're people who live in a tar paper shack on a mountain, and they don't have any lights and gas. They have, you know, they build a fire, and they toast their own water, and they are happy just existing with nature. But you meet some people, and I mean, I don't mean everybody is like a hermit living out. It's just that when you meet people who seem so wise beyond their years, they're never the millionaire person. They're never the one who lives in the world of materialism, because that is part of their wisdom. They understand that's meaningless. You really don't take that with you. And so, you know, I think when you look at everybody chasing the big American dream, they're maybe not going to get that great, great love when they're chasing the material dream. They're going to get somebody who wants to chase the dream with them of having money. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. I get you. All right. So, wow. So they like helping people, but maybe helping people is like everybody they come in contact with, they have an open heart, right? Being kind mm-hmm. to the bank teller, the grocery checker, your boss, right? You know, or, you know, whatever. Okay, I got mm-hmm. it. I like it. That works too as well. So let me see if I get this. Because you have the twin flame, twin soul relationship. So the angels you work with was Gabriel and Michael. And I know you did with Samuel, who helps with mm-hmm. the soulmate relationships. And then Angus, which is the twin flame, twin soul ascended master that works, bringing them together. And how do you get your twin flame, twin soul? You have to have a higher awareness, more evolved sense of yourself, connected to all that is, right? You know. And then you also say prayer or gratitude is important. I guess prayer and forgiveness for yourself is important. And then having a higher awareness about being just open to helping people, realizing that we're all one. That's a hard one. You know, so I think about that with me and my traffic jam situation. So yeah.
Forgive those jaywalkers.
Yeah. Yeah, jaywalkers. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. funny. Okay. So, all right. And then did I miss anything? That's what you did. That's what you do. And so you say you can ask for it here when you get here. Bring me my twin flame, twin soul. But chances are they're not here. You can ask for companion soulmate unless you're higher evolved, because that's mm-hmm. how twin flame, twin soul come together in a lifetime, is that they have a higher awareness and they're more evolved. Not better, just more evolved. And okay. And so but I think a big key is, like, before you ever get down here and you're in heaven land, you're saying, hey, let's go down and visit this life together. Now.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. I really do. I think that you plan that. You have yes. that soul agreement on the other side before you come into this world, and you plan on, you know, finally connecting. It may take you a while, but I think you have that plan that we're going to end up together, we're going to connect, and we're going to build a life together. Because on the other, I feel like that's a special relationship, both in this earth life as well as in heaven. I think that's a very special relationship with that one soul, and I think it's important to you both that you do find a way to work it out in the earth life. You know, I think that we all love each other on the other side. Even the people that we think we can't stand on earth, we really love them on the other side.
Yeah.
But I think that's a special soul to you, that you
right.
that you mirror each other. So I think it's a challenge to say let's incarnate together this time and try to make this work, you know. And I wonder, like,
right.
how many lives did we try to get together and it didn't work?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Huh. You know?
I thought he,
who knows?
All this time I thought he was the Antichrist and he was really my twin flame. I'm kidding.
He was burning me at the stake because he knew I was a witch.
Yeah, really? He's my other half. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. We're just teasing, but that's cool. Anyway, hey, we're almost out of time. I know you've got somewhere you got to be, and we've got some great folks here at BBS, and you know, I just appreciate them so very much. They really make it easy for us to do the show, and then I appreciate you guys. You know, it's a lot of fun to work with you. And so on that note, you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/dearangels. Facebook.com/Diane Bucci, BUCCI, right? So, or you've got a couple books out too. We both do. We've got our book, You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me? And I love that book because Diane and I wrote it together, and it really tells you how to work with your soulmate, whatever one you have, twin flame, twin soul, but it breaks it down, or companion soulmate. And Cherie Abbott, Angel Coach, you can connect with me there. Our angel coaches on Facebook. So there's just so many ways that you can connect with us. And we do readings. And if you want to, in coaching, intuitive coaching, life and intuitive coaching, so hit us up. And we'd love to talk to you. Do you have anything you want to say, Di? Thank you for being so open
no.
about your relationship. I really appreciate it so much. You know.
Well,
so.
It's good to be back. We had a little hiatus while you had to get moved.
Yeah.
So hopefully we
I know.
Have good reception now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you hear me pretty good? Anyway.
Yeah, I heard you. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah. I can. All right. Can you hear me now? Anyway, you guys have a great rest of your week, and happy Memorial Day. I love Memorial Day. We honor the veterans from the past, the now, and the mm-hmm. future. It's all good. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great now. Bye now.